Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Waiting is the hardest part.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If you're waiting to refinance your mortgage, or to buy a home, or to sell one for that matter, you may just have to keep waiting. This week, rates on 30-year fixed mortgages shot up to 6% and some change. Rates on jumbo loans, those are higher than $417,000, climbed to about 7.5%. Yeah, I know the Fed has cut interest rates 5 times since September, but it's not spilling over to the housing market. Investors are really being cautious about inflation, and that's keeping mortgage rates from coming down. It's frustrating for a lot of people. Some of those with adjustable rate mortgages could have it a whole lot worse this year when those rates reset. But it's not just homeowners facing this problem. Cities, schools, even museums will also see their loan rates go way up. Jill Barchet reports.
Local governments and nonprofits have borrowed $300 billion in an arcane corner of capital markets called auction rate bonds. Investors don't want these bonds right now. They're spooked by the credit crunch. So rates are resetting by twice as much or more. Taxpayers and donors are on the hook for hundreds of millions of dollars in extra interest payments they never expected. Joseph Ficera of Sabre Partners advises local governments. He says a big problem is that cities are selling their bonds through just one investment bank, which controls the auction.
The Treasury Department would never sell all of its bonds through just one dealer, nor should anyone who wants to really do an auction.
Ficera says Wall Street is encouraging cities to retire these auction bonds and replace them with ordinary bonds.
Right now, most of the proposals are simply to dump it and run.
Wall Street earns fees on these refinancings, which ultimately will be paid by taxpayers, too. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Could be a quiet day for Wall Street. There are no big economic reports coming out. Plus, there's a snowstorm in New York, and that's causing a lot of gridlock. So far, the Dow is up, actually, about 12 points to 12,296. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are kind of flat. But in Asia today, the market's finished 1% lower, and European shares are down a little bit so far. In many industries, China is like the roadrunner, and foreign companies are wily coyotes. China always seems to win. But when it comes to the cartoon business, China is actually getting crushed by Disney and animators from Japan. Of course, the roadrunner is pretty sneaky. China just keeps foreign cartoons off Chinese TV. Bill Marcus has more from Shanghai.
China's 250 million kids prefer Japanese Pokemon and America's Mickey Mouse over Chinese cartoons. A study showed that 2 years ago. That's when the government implemented a 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. ban on foreign cartoons. China says the ban grew domestic programming by more than a third, so officials hope to help the industry more by extending the ban to 9 p.m. Animation producers aren't worried. Kids can watch foreign cartoons anytime on the Internet. Charlie Moretti's Shanghai-based Bright Shadow Films re-records foreign cartoons for international markets.
The Chinese industry on a cartoon level has focused more on the production values, on the quality and the efficiency of making the films rather than the content of the stories and the characters. And that's what they want to shift the focus back towards now.
But there's still a way for foreign producers to beat the ban, as long as they're willing to share a copyright and their revenue with Chinese producers. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, February 22nd on Marketplace.org. Here's an alarming statistic about the housing market. More than 10% of homeowners owe more on their homes than those houses are worth. That's the highest percentage since the Great Depression. The federal government is considering yet another plan to help people out. John Dimsdale reports.
The Office of Thrift Supervision, a government regulator of mortgage lenders, is putting together a refinancing option to help avoid foreclosures. A mortgage in trouble would be split in two, with the government guaranteeing an amount up to the current appraised value of the house. The riskier portion of the loan, that not covered by the home's equity, would be given to the original lender in the form of a certificate. The OTS's William Rewberry says the lender's certificate could be cashed in if the home is eventually sold at a profit.
To lenders, the expense of foreclosure is something that they would want to avoid, and that this would be a good alternative that would be more financially attractive.
The government anticipates lenders would set up a market for trading mortgage certificates to spread the risk. The OTS is floating this idea. Rewberry says so far the reaction has been positive. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Microsoft says it's going to share some of its secrets. The company will offer more technical details about Windows and Office productivity programs. Should make life easier for the software industry. But antitrust regulators in Europe are skeptical. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Microsoft says it will make the blueprints of some of its key software available free on its website. The company claims this will help rival firms design packages that work better with Microsoft products. Some analysts hail this as a breakthrough, a genuine change of heart. But Europe's competition commissioner in Brussels is not so sure. Spokesman Jonathan Todd gives the announcement a very guarded welcome.
We have seen announcements, similar announcements from Microsoft in the past, which have not been followed up in practice. We genuinely hope that this time it is the genuine article.
He points out that Microsoft's move does not deal with one of the EU's main allegations, that the company is abusing its dominant market position by tying its own software, like Internet Explorer, into the Windows operating system. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This week, several major cell phone companies made a big move. Flat-rate, talk-all-you-want plans. So for about $100 a month, you don't have to worry about going over your allotted minutes. Now, for texting, you may already have a flat-rate plan. And if you don't, you could have a problem. Lisa Napoli has more.
Doug Patterson watched his teenage daughter go from about text messaging to being a much more than frequent user.
We started off at the beginning of 2006 with her doing 8 text messages in January. Last month, it was 2,211 messages.
Patterson kept upping his flat rate plan to keep pace with the texting, but the plans kept going up in price to 5 times what they started at. It's a good thing he had a plan at all. These days, an individual message that used to cost a nickel now can cost 20 cents. Texting has become the crack of modern communication. Industry analyst Ian Gillett says your cell phone company likes it that way.
So they're really promoting more and more text message usage because it does lead to more usage of ringtones and games.
All these extras are where cell phone companies are staking their financial futures. For now, they're raking it in with text. More than a fifth of Verizon's revenue is coming from these texting and mobile net connections. AT&T's data revenue shot up 57% over this time last year. Industry analyst Glenn Fleischman says text messages are pure profit.
It's so vastly profitable that there's no reason why they can't just give you everything by charging you a fee that is entirely gravy.
That hasn't gone unnoticed by entrepreneurs like Ralph Harita. His company makes a new device called a Zip-It that doesn't make phone calls. It only lets you instant message and text for a flat fee.
It's a $5 a month plan for 3,000 messages.
But the Zip-It costs $150, about what you could pay for a phone. No matter how you slice it, using your thumbs doesn't come cheap.
I think the carriers have figured out that they can just keep tweaking the price upward, and they haven't hit the limit of what they can charge yet.
Experts like Glenn Fleischman say don't be surprised if eventually you end up paying 40% of your cell phone bill for something other than plain old talking. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.